Welcome back to The Source here on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The primary day is over for the Democrats and the Republicans, and there were winners and whiners, and still many who are in runoffs. Some nail-biter races, but not too many. But after all that campaigning money was spent and hot air expelled, what are we left with? We'd like to hear your thoughts and about the primaries. How did you vote? Anything shock you? Anything reassure you about the state of humanity? Or are you so disgusted that you didn't even bother to vote? Call in and tell your story. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can comment on the show page on our website at tpr.org. We're joined by San Antonio Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia and San Antonio Current Editor-in-Chief Callie Inlow. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thanks.
So let's talk about the voter turnout. You know, we're always bemoaning voter turnout. And so anything to learn from how we did voter turnout-wise, Gilbert?
Yeah, I think it's just a continuation of what we've seen probably over the last decade or so. I mean, it was pretty abysmal. Republican turnout was a little better in this county, which is also something that we've seen in recent years. One thing that was kind of interesting to me was, you know, in talking to the Wolf people, Nelson Wolf's people, they did a breakdown analysis of who voted and found that in the early voting, you had 2,000 people who voted in the Democratic primary who were Republicans who had only voted in Republican primaries and crossed over, and they were convinced that helped them out, and even with that, the Democratic turnout was really low.
How did they come up with that number like that? That so many people who had never voted before in a Democratic race jumped over.
They look at the ID numbers for voters, and then they were able to kind of look at their history and track that.
And so, Callie, any insight into the voter turnout? Were you just to say, well, it's because, you know, the primary is a huge deal. I mean, especially for the Republican race. And
Right. Well, and I think that you can kind of see that in some of these results. With lower turnout, you're typically getting people who are towards one extreme or the other on the party. And so I think especially in the Republican primary, you could see that there was a number of runoffs that resulted in this particular primary turnout. Between kind of Tea Party candidates versus establishment candidates. So generally, Tea Party candidates, I would say, benefit from a lower voter turnout because the people who are motivated to go to those primary polls are generally people who have really deeply felt beliefs that might skew towards the more socially conservative, more Tea Party side of things.
Right. Those are the people who drive past the school every Tuesday morning just to make sure there's not an election that they're going to miss. They want to vote at every opportunity. So, Gilbert, you brought up the county judge's race, this Democratic primary for that. And that one was that brought out a lot of folks. It put a lot of electricity into the ballot box. You know, so how did that shake out?
Well, you know, Nelson Wolf, you know, was seeking reelection. His old friend Tommy Atkinson, a member of the commissioner's court, challenged him. You know, Nelson Wolf certainly had a lot of Democratic firepower behind him, a lot of money behind him. But there was nervousness on the part of the Wolf people as we got closer to it because people would privately say, you know, Wolf might be respected, but Tommy tends to be loved by his supporters. There's a level of loyalty just because he's someone who's always there. He's really responsive to his constituents. And so they were worried, you know, with the low turnout, bad weather, that just the intensity of Tommy's support might be enough. Wolf ended up winning, I think, with somewhere between 56 and 57%. It was probably not as close as the Wolf people feared as we got close to Election Day.
Right. So I'd say that that's exactly right. I was at the Atkinson watch party last night and met a number of these really loyal supporters of his. And he kind of the impression that I got from them is that he was like the politician who listened to them in a lot of cases. And, you know, there was several people who were really upset at the end of the night who were, you know, pretty emotional that Tommy didn't win. But I would say that, you know, on the part of the Wolf campaign, he hadn't campaigned for years, like over a decade, right? Maybe even close to two decades. So he tapped Christian Archer, mm-hmm. who kind of came back out of semi-retirement to help him out. And he raised just a ton of money, right?
Like Christian Archer ran Hardberger's campaigns and mm-hmm. also the Castro's campaigns. Mm-hmm. So he's very well and well connected, and he knows how to run a campaign. Very technical conductor of a campaign.
Yes, yeah, and I think that you really saw that in the results and in the terms of the mailers, which Gilbert has covered in some columns, I think. You know, they went out, and Nelson said, "I wasn't expecting a fight, but if you bring it to my door, I'll be there," right, with friends. Mm-hmm. That was kind of his quote that he repeated over and over again. And so he did end up taking it really seriously.
So what do you think Bexar County is going to look like without Tommy? It's been so long since he has not held an office in Bexar County.
Yeah, it'll be a strange thing. You know, we were talking the other day at the office about how it seems like the justice of the peace position now, it seems to be where elderly politicians go when it's kind of –
I'm like not Jeff
saying
Wentworth.
That. We've seen Jeff Wentworth, Ciro Rodriguez is going in that direction. I'm not saying that's going to be – that'll be in Tommy's future, but that when I think about a possible, you know, political future for Tommy, that's about the, you know, maybe one area I could see him. But it will be really strange. I mean, he's been on the commissioner's court for 15 years, and you know, he's been such a presence in county politics.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that Tommy did take on Judge Wolf, and you kind of wonder what was he thinking. And so what I hear what he was thinking is that there would be a low voter turnout, that they would think that a lot of people were going to drift from the Democratic Party, the moderates, into the Republican primary in order to try and weigh in on a Donna Campbell situation. And they thought that was going to help him, with the party loyalist, take it to the judge. And he probably had forgotten about the power that the judge can bring to – Judge Wolf can bring to the ballot box. But having had this primary challenge, he was able to shake off the cobwebs and get ready for what's going to look like going to be a pretty tough general election against Carlton Soles. I mean, Carlton Soles, he's going to bring it.
Right, yeah. So Carlton Soles, again, is the former City Council District 10 rep who stepped down to run as a Republican against Wolf for county judge. And interestingly, during, you know, this initial campaign, Carlton and Tommy seemed to be making the same points on a number of different issues. And
like streetcars?
Exactly. So the streetcar is going to be the really big issue, and Nelson Wolf is really going to have to answer for what his grand plans are with all of the quote unquote legacy issues that that he's signed off on and that are really costing taxpayers in the county a ton of money. And I think Carlton is really going to bring that to the forefront.
And I think that you know, to on that point, I think one of the things that, you know, Tommy was kind of hamstrung in a sense, because, you know, he was wanting to distance himself from things he had voted for himself, and saying, "Well, I was just being on the issue of streetcars or San Pedro Creek. I was being a good team player. Or I didn't realize what I was doing." And you know, Carlton will have a little more freedom to attack without having the burden of having to explain why he voted for things.
Yeah, but it's interesting that Tommy was accusing Judge Wolf of being too close with Republicans, but there he was campaigning alongside Tea Partiers against the streetcar issue. So, I mean, who was really closer to the GOP?
Yeah, there were a lot of contradictions in the race, and one of the things that I brought up with him, because for six solid years he was pushing for tent jails. He had gone to visit Joe Arpaio's jails in Arizona, which is such a Republican issue, and he was pushing hard for that for 6 years, and then he changed
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about the primary results. We want to hear from our listeners. Anything that shocked you, that reassured you, that disgusted you, a call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. We're going to take a quick 1 minute break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the primary results from yesterday. We're joined by San Antonio Express News columnist Gilbert Garcia and San Antonio current editor-in-chief Callie Inlow. If you've got a question or a comment, an observation about yesterday's primaries, if you had a problem with early voting with voter ID, we'd like to hear that story. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. There was a lot of talk about voter ID, but I didn't hear a lot of problems this time, Gilbert.
Yeah, I didn't either. I think it was, you know, this might be a good talking point for the Republicans, but I mean, at least locally, I don't think that we had a lot of issues with that. I mean, did you hear anything about it?
No, we really didn't. You know, I think once the word got out, particularly for recently married women, that seemed to be the one constituency that might have problems. But mm-hmm. You really basically had to just sign an affidavit saying you were who you said you were. And so that doesn't really honestly, it doesn't really seem like a huge barrier towards going to the polls. We tried, you know, to get out the information about what types of IDs would be accepted. And we didn't hear much about anybody getting rejected or turned back or having any other kind of difficulties.
So I last night was at the Greg Abbott campaign celebration here in San Antonio, which was at Aldo's Mexican restaurant at the Sunset Station. You know, people were kind of taking it in stride, wasn't too excited. They were just, you know, very like, this is the way it's going to be. It was like a dress rehearsal, sure. I think, for what's going to happen in November. Of course, and Greg Abbott got 91.5% of the vote to secure the nomination. But it's interesting how Wendy Davis, she only, you know, she not really challenged,
right.
But she had this guy, Ray Magdagrill,
from Corpus Christi.
Corpus Christi. He won some counties on the border.
He did. And I think it's, you know, certainly the Republicans are you know, making an issue of that. He won Hidalgo County. I think it was Starr and Webb County and did well in Cameron County. So, you know, on the surface, you think this is a concern for Wendy Davis because there's such a strong Democratic vote in the Valley. And if, you know, she's facing what was basically an unknown perennial candidate and he's beating her in these Valley counties, I think it's something that they would worry about a little bit. On the other hand, it's hard to see many of these Democrats. I mean, I think a lot of the Democrats there who voted saw a Latino name. And I think that, you know, I think we have to be honest that probably carried some weight. And it's hard for me to see many of them voting for Greg Abbott over Wendy Davis. And I think Leticia Vandeput's presence on the ballot running for lieutenant governor will, we probably came into this thinking Wendy Davis's coattails would be really helpful to Leticia Vandeput. And I really believed the campaign unfold, that Leticia Vandeput's coattails may be of more importance to Wendy Davis.
Yeah, but in Bexar County, this Ray Magdagrill got 15% of the vote. So I guess
didn't do much here.
Didn't do much here. But I talked to some folks in the Valley today, and they said, yeah, it's probably the Latino name. They told me a story about a woman who changed her name from Cross to De La Cruz in the last election so that she would score additional votes. Let's get a caller on the air. Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, and Ben has called in. Ben, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I'm calling in connection with a comment that your guest made a few minutes ago, saying that there had been very few incidents reported of people being turned away or given difficulty at the Democratic voting in the Democratic primary. I think perhaps that overlooks the number of people who may have been dissuaded from voting at all because they were concerned that they might run into trouble or they might have problems presented to them. I think a more revealing statistic might be to compare the proportion of primary voters who were Democratic at this election versus previous elections. And if there's a substantial fall off in the number or percentage of Democratic voters, well, then it would indicate that perhaps there is a factor such as the increased scrutiny that is dissuading them from coming to the polls.
Yeah, but isn't the same scrutiny applied to both primaries? It wouldn't show a distinction, right?
Well, no, it certainly would, because the purpose of putting in the increased scrutiny for voters was to dissuade people with marginal credentials from going to the polls, and it was believed by many that one might find a higher proportion of those among Democrats than among Republicans.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, but it's a hard thing to gauge because, you know, we saw, we had more Republican voters in this primary. We also had that in 2010. In 2006, when the Republicans were having a really terrible year, we had more Democrats voting by, I think, a pretty good margin. So it fluctuates so much from if we're looking at off presidential election cycles, it's really a hard thing to look at. I think people could look at it, but I think at this point, it would be really hard for us to gauge something like that.
We had a couple of folks on the ballot who had jumped parties. We had Carlo Key. He was the county court at law number 11. He was unopposed, so we don't really know how that impacted him. But also, but Karen Crouch, she had been a Democrat, and now she ran for the first time as a Republican for the county court at law number 10 nomination, and she won, but just barely, with 51% of the vote. So does that seem like a strategy that's paying off, Kelly?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess so. It paid off for her.
It's not a huge win, but you know.
Right. Yeah, and I think it will be really, really interesting to see how Key performs in the general, and that's when we'll really be able to tell whether this kind of strategic party switching, either for Key, whether you know he's switching ostensibly because of issues and Crouch, who really made a strategic political move, whether those are going to really pay off.
Because you know, Karen Crouch has never lost a general election, but she couldn't get out of the Democratic primaries in some cases. And the thinking, if we're going to go back to the name factor, that when she was on the ballot versus Latinos in the Democratic primary, she was having a hard time. And of course, Carlo Key, I think he looked and thought Leticia Vandepute is going to be a major force in local politics in 2014. And I think that's what went into his decision to go the other way.
All right. We're talking about the primary results from last night. If you've got a question, a comment, an observation, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. And with me to talk about that, Gilbert Garcia, a columnist with Express News, and Callie Inlow. She's the editor-in-chief at the San Antonio Current. Another kind of party switcher was Teresa Hutsinger. Mm-hmm. She had been a Republican in the past, and now she ran on the Democratic ticket for the district attorney race. But she ended up losing to Nico LaHood. So that was a very close race, only 50 votes.
Yeah, I think, as I put it to one of our freelance writers, she lost by a nose hair. It was like, yeah, something like 50. I think it might have been a little bit higher in the end with the official results, but not by much. I mean, definitely in the double digits. In terms of, I think Nico LaHood still has name recognition, right, from the last time that he ran. And even if it's not great name recognition, I think that helped. I think also having a few spurs in your corners got to help. But it only helped a fraction of a percent. You know,
I don't understand that. Why did the Spurs – what's his connection to the Spurs?
I think shortly after Tim Duncan started playing for the Spurs – this goes back about 16 years – he and Tim Duncan befriended each other. And I don't remember if it was like they were working out together or what, but it was something along those lines. And they've been friends for a long time. And Tim is actually the godfather of one of his kids. And so it's a really close – personal connection. He also had Joaquin Castro doing robocalls for him in the final. The real forces in the Democratic Party were behind Nico LaHood. And while a victory is a victory, I think considering Therese Hunsinger had no history with the Democratic Party and had not run for DA before.
But I would see her at a lot of Democratic events.
In recent
months.
She
was doing a lot of connecting, and she was winning people over.
Yeah.
So,
But I think that, you know, I would think that Nico and his people have to be a little. They're happy that they won, but it was a scary election considering, you know, how much the Democratic establishment he had behind him.
So the big race that everyone's looking at for this runoff that's coming up has got to be the County Commissioner Precinct 4, mm-hmm. and we've got two candidates who have survived. They move on to the next round, Tommy Calvert, and we have Deborah Guerrero. So what are your observations, Callie?
I think it's going to be a really interesting race there. Both of these candidates are kind of perennial candidates in several different types of offices, and they both come from very, very different backgrounds. Guerrero has been well-connected and tied into politics for several years now.
She's on the SAISD board.
Right, yes. And you know, Tommy Calvert has made a really big name for himself on the East Side, which is a huge part of that precinct. And when they can rally and have a cohesive base there, they can really put some muscle into that office. So.
Yeah, so it seems like we're going to see a very divided this precinct. People are going to have to choose camps, right, Gilbert?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very close race. And Deborah Guerrero was on the city council many years ago and had kind of a controversial tenure. And so in some ways, she's kind of trying to reinvent herself with this race. And, and Tommy Calvert has been an activist and is really, I think, pushing, to try to, mobilize the East Side and create a sense that, you know, that the East Side has been sort of underappreciated or
well, he says that they've gotten the short end of the stick whenever it came to the allocation of resources for roads and any kind of development. So that's his big talking point. And that should appeal to a lot of people.
And
Deborah Guerrero is talking about the lack of female representation in the county commissioners. So than which is true, right?
Yeah,
that's not there. But you know, the other big question about will Tommy Atkinson and Judge Wolf be able to come together? Because they're going to need to patch things up if they're going to have a strong showing in November against Carlton Souls, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I think you know, Atkinson definitely during his kind of concession speech really made it a huge point to say, you know, now we've got to the Wolf people are going to need us, whether that's mm-hmm. true or not. Remains to be seen. But he really. Encourage his supporters to look to Wolf now to be the county judge.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they've been through a lot of battles, so I think they're going to be able to put this behind them.
All right. Thank you both for helping us figure this out, the primary results from last night. Gilbert Garcia from the San Antonio Express News columnist and the San Antonio Current editor-in-chief, Callie Inlow. Thanks for joining us on The Source.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in to The Source this afternoon. I'm David Martin Davies. See you tomorrow.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.